And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
Well, it all started 135 years ago, just a few blocks from here over near where the Southside Library currently stands. When 9 women from the Third Presbyterian Church in nearby, down, I think it's 20th, I believe, petitioned to build and start a new congregation here on the Highlands, which at that time was probably the most posh, stylish neighborhood, a new suburb on the fringes of Birmingham, a city that had grown rapidly under the expansion of the steel industry because of the raw materials that were found in our nearby valleys and hills. And so it was that on All Hallows Eve, October 31st, 1888, 23 charter members met for the very first time at Professor W.P. Taylor's private school over on the corner, 11th and Cottonwood. A night which our church history calls dark and drizzly. But inside, their hopes were high, their faith expectant. The small congregation quickly built a little white frame chapel over near the library. And only 3 years later, think about this, 3 years later, that's as long as these your gifts are going to take, right? They experienced rapid growth to the point that on January 1st, 1892, they laid the cornerstone, it's still over here, of this majestic stone cathedral sanctuary. Its massive bell tower pointing heavenward toward healing and hope. Our beloved Martha Hood, who only left us in her 103rd year. In 1955, Sunday, February 13th, 1955, wrote an article about South Highland in the Birmingham News, celebrating the recent completion of the fellowship hall, classrooms, and the chapel. An article printed, this is interesting to me anyway, only 2.5 weeks before I was born. Here's some of what she said. The original structure, which is on the corner, is Gothic in style. It was built to house all the needs of the church with a sanctuary, Sunday school rooms, and a church parlor. The stained glass windows in the church, 3 of which are rose windows, were put in at the construction time and were paid for by the children and the young members of the church. And thus today, more than a century and a third since that beginning, we give thanks to God for the worship and witness of South Highland across all these years. Enduring schisms, depressions, 2 world wars and many other wars, racial strife, most recently a worldwide pandemic, and now a war between Israel and Hamas. And we're still here, as our vision statement claims, fully alive with the passion of Christ. Still trying to do what Jesus told the Jewish lawyer who recognized that it was the Samaritan who was the neighbor. And Jesus told him, and he tells us, go and do likewise. It's probably the best known of Jesus' parables, illustrating in a way whose meaning you just cannot miss, the meaning of real faith and hope and love, what these look like in action. This is what Jesus is calling us to as we seek to implement the mandate of the great commandment Jesus is teaching his disciples prior to this encounter with this lawyer, teaching them to go out in his name. When the lawyer comes up and asks the way to heaven, teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus characteristically answers a question with a question. What's the scripture say? How do you read? And the man knows the twin peaks of the law well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Bingo, says Jesus. You've got it. Now you just do this and you will live and keep on living. Now this fellow, however, wants to narrow the scope of his neighborhood. Well, just how big is this neighborhood supposed to be? So Jesus answers with this story about a man who's robbed and left for dead along the side of the Jericho Road. And let's say, instead of a priest and a Levite, let's call them a Presbyterian pastor and a Presbyterian elder. Leaders of the faith community, they come by and they do all that they can to avoid looking at the situation and getting involved in the mess. I mean, after all, they've got important places to go and people to see and duties to undertake. So they pass by on the other side, trying to avoid any eye contact with the dying man. And it's left to an outsider, a member of the heretical, despised Samaritan tribe up in the north, who had watered down the teachings of Torah, to come by, and he is the one who sees and responds. He goes to the man, bandages his wounds, pours oil and wine on them, puts them on his own donkey, and takes him to an inn where he pays for the man's lodging and nursing care. And tells the innkeeper, here, pays him some money. He said, and whatever more you need, I will repay you when I come again. There's no limit on what he's willing to do to help this wounded stranger who he recognizes is his neighbor. Now, South Highland has long been a people who try to offer this sort of love and care and compassion and mercy to one another and to those whose names we don't even know, as the Lord gives us strength. As I reviewed the history and the way we responded at times through world crises, through war and peace, I'm amazed at how we have been able to be present to our neighbors here on the south side as well as our neighbors on the other side of the planet. We've endured crises within our own body and outside of our body. In 1915, more than half of this congregation left this sanctuary and became what has become our sister congregation, Independent Presbyterian Church. They left because the pastor at the time had some significant theological differences with core Presbyterian beliefs. And then in the 1970s, another good-sized group from South Highland departed to form what has become Briarwood Presbyterian Church. And I said early on when I came here, okay, y'all, we formed one to the left of us. We formed one to the right of us. Now we just got to figure out who we are. And I think we're doing that. I think we've been doing that. Who we are is a church centered in Christ. We're clear at the center in our profession that we are a people who believe in and seek to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our master and friend, our brother and teacher. We're a people who seek to follow Christ. We take the scriptures seriously, especially those parts in red in the Gospels, Jesus' own words. Beyond that, we are all sorts of people from all parts of at least two counties, many suburban areas, even from Jasper. We're black and white, Asian and Hispanic, people of meager means, people of significant means. We're people studying and teaching at UAB Med School, and we're people living in government-subsidized housing, all coming together because we're looking to learn and live out what it means to love God with our all and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In what we're learning is a big, big neighborhood. Today's bulletin bears witness to the 22 gifted pastors, certainly Dr. Waters among them, who've served here. And as Dr. Wilkins brought up, the 30 members here who became pastors. And right now, the 46 gifted elders, deacons, and trustees who serve now, emblematic of generation after generation of officers who preceded them. And our current staff of 22 servant leaders who help people grow in faith, doing everything from keeping the building clean to cooking delicious meals to preparing countless bulletins and flyers and electronic communications to teaching children, youth, and adults. We are a people trying to follow Jesus. And we're a place trying to follow Jesus, a place, a safe place where questions can be asked and doubts explored, and Jesus can be found. South Highland really means it on our sign. It's on the front of the bulletin virtually every week. No matter where you're from, we're glad you are our neighbor. All are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. God has put us here on this corner for a reason and kept us here on this corner for a reason, because here we have opportunity to come across all sorts of people with Jesus' love. Healthcare professionals, college students, teachers, people in subsidized housing, people who live on the streets, Jewish neighbors across the street and up the street. Jesus sets his parable on this dangerous Jericho road, a place known to be filled with bandits, a location of great danger and great need, like where we are. And we worked hard to stay right here, enduring vandalism, building wear and tear, and water, for which we are undertaking this building for the future effort, so we can keep doing the gospel things we are called to do from here. Now, people come here with all sorts of hurts and hopes, all sorts of needs and desires. Just glance at the 42 outreach ministries in your program that we're undertaking, 24 of which happen only because this building is here. We're not a shrine to an elegant past. We're an equipping center for living the way Jesus tells us to today and tomorrow. We're a place where one beggar tells another beggar where to find food. And yes, we are serving some of that food. This time last year, I had just returned from an amazing mission journey to Syria and Lebanon. And there, our little team from the Outreach Foundation visited with churches of the small in number Syrian Lebanese Synod of the Presbyterian Church there. In those lands, Syria, where fully a third of the population have been displaced and become refugees, a place which has a dictatorial leader, has experienced economic collapse, and has suffered the attacks of Islamic ISIS. Many of their churches have been bombed, partially, and in some cases, completely destroyed. South Highland has partnered with other churches around the world in offering support. The believers we met there were so utterly determined to continue being places that show forth the love of Jesus, places where Jesus can be found. In all the congregations we visited, worship was the very heart and center of their weekly schedules. But they also had churches, by the way, with far less resources than we have. They all had children's programs and schools and health clinics and clothing stores tied in with them. They were places of light and hope in a dangerous, dangerous neighborhood. And now, since that journey, South Highland has partnered with the National Presbyterian Church of Latakia, Syria, and helped them to build a safe new playground for their children. One amazing man we visited there was Reverend Ibrahim Nasir, the pastor of the National Presbyterian Church in Aleppo, Syria. Their church was bombed to the ground. Since then, they built a new church in another location with some partnership from us and many other churches. And on the location of the original church, they are rebuilding there in an expanded fashion, a seminary, a Christian retreat and culture center, where Christians, Protestant, Orthodox, and Catholic, and Muslims will gather in friendship and mutual understanding so these things can grow. Reverend Ibrahim was telling us about the vision becoming a dream, becoming a reality, and how his congregation of about 400 people was living it out. They had recently bought a storefront building next to their new church to be fitted for children's Sunday school rooms. And he told us, when we bought the additional building next door for the church to make space for the children's Sunday schools, we were called crazy. But faith is not rational. Faith is crazy. Faith works with the unseen. I had a vision. The vision became a dream. The dream became reality. South Highland, we are a people who are family, who care for one another and for the wounded person on the side of the road. We are a place where healing and hope and good news can be found, a place where faith and friendship grow. And finally, we have a purpose. Our purpose is to live out the good news of Jesus Christ in what we say and in what we do. Isn't purpose, meaning, finding a sense of significance what so many are hungry for? As our culture and our world are fragmenting, pulling away into angry, bitter, polarized tribes built on lies and propaganda, people are so hungry for truth. And that is what we try to offer here. You know, in the 1980s, the big push was for contemporary worship. Today, the hunger young adults and youth are crying out for is a sense of transcendence, for connection with something and someone beyond themselves. There's a hunger for a sense of awe in worship, for meaning that is grounded in the God who's beyond us and yet with us. And at the center of this is the urgent need for truth of the gospel, truth that's found here in Jesus and growing. Our purpose is beautifully summed up in the first answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? You know it? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We're a people in a place that offers a purpose to all who have need. And it takes us all pulling together in the same direction to fulfill this need. Yes, it takes a village. We want people of all ages to experience the love of the living God, who we praise in exalted worship, and then whom we serve in extensive mission as we go out these doors every week. And that does not mean we don't have different opinions. It doesn't mean we're all in lockstep together. But it does mean that once we have worked through a matter, whether of a mission project or a program for Wednesday Night Live or whether to put a cross on top of the steeple, that after we have done our research, dug into it, shared on the issue, that when a decision is finally made, we get behind it. I hope you enjoy this Heritage of Witness summary that's in the bulletin. I hope you'll take extra copies home. Keep this and send it to your children, grandchildren, and friends. It's a wonderful summary of the life of this congregation. It tells of a purposeful story. Now, there's one picture on this bulletin that has wonderful meaning to me. It's a picture of Dr. Dewey White and Dr. John Ponder and yours truly holding the massive 12-foot cross on a Saturday morning just before a crane lifted it up onto the top of our bell tower. Now, funny as it may seem today, there was actually some lively controversy over whether a cross of our Savior should sit on top of our steeple. Dr. White and Dr. Ponder were on opposite sides in this matter, and which result was resolved only by a secret ballot vote of the session. And yet, once the decision was made, and you can see it in their picture, the whole church got behind it to lift high the cross. And so it's been through the years at South Highland. The call to each of us, as we build for the future, God leading us, is to first keep the main thing the main thing, loving God and loving our neighbor. And then to discover day by day and more, just who our neighbor is and just how big the neighborhood is. As John Wesley put it, the world is my parish. Recently, our 5-year-old grandson, Winfield, up in Nashville, who's going to a wonderful Christian preschool, he was picked up by his other grandmother, Gigi. And Gigi took Winfield out to get a snack, and then they went to a nearby park to play. It was one of those gorgeous October afternoons, and Gigi pointed up to the blue, blue sky. And she said, "Look, Winfield, there is not a cloud in that blue, blue sky." And little 5-year-old Winfield said, "Yes, Gigi, it's like God took a big paintbrush and painted blue all across the sky. God made it all blue." And she said, "Winfield, isn't that amazing?" And Winfield laughed and said, "Oh, Gigi, God can do anything." My friends, that's what South Highland is discovering as we are here. In the heart of the city, for the whole of the city, with the passion of Christ. God can do anything. The lesson Jesus imparted to the lawyer was that Jesus is calling this lawyer to be a neighbor. He doesn't answer the man's question, "Who is my neighbor?" A question the man was asking in order to narrow his focus and his responsibilities. Instead, Jesus turns the question 180 degrees around and says, "You are to think of yourself as a neighbor." The question is not whether a particular person is worthy of being my neighbor and thus worthy of my love, but rather the question Jesus asks the man and asks us is, are you willing to take what you have, what you know, and what you can do, and place this all at the disposal of another person's need or growth? Martha Hood, in that article on February 13, 1955, in the Birmingham News, concludes, "Throughout the history of the church, there is a great evidence of the sacrifices and hard work of its members. In the early days, no task was too menial for the church members. The women ran a Saturday market at Five Points, swept and cleaned lamps in the first little chapel, and even came to the rescue when foreclosure proceedings on the bonded debt of the new church was threatened. The money was proceeds from ice cream and oyster suppers, bazaars and cake sales." Then she continued, "No family holds together without the combined efforts of the whole. Thus has South Highland Presbyterian Church been able to meet the spiritual needs of its community with dignity and faith. A people, a place, a purpose. Sisters and brothers, we have been given so much by generations of our forebears, and we have so much to do now and in the generations yet to come. We are being called to use this sacred space generously, prayerfully, and faithfully to offer reconciliation and healing, to fill it with the Spirit of Jesus Himself, to enable people to encounter the amazing love behind the universe, and then to join us in serving our world. As Reverend Ibrahim said, faith is not rational. Faith is crazy. Faith works with the unseen. I had a vision. The vision became a dream. The dream became reality." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.